Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have J.P. Sears as my special expert guest. J.P. Sears is an emotional healing coach, YouTuber, author, international teacher, speaker at events, world traveler, and curious student of life. His work empowers people to live more meaningful lives. JP is the author of How to Be Ultra Spiritual. He is very active with his online videos where he encourages healing and growth through his humorous and entertainingly informative videos, including his hit Ultra Spiritual Comedy series, which has accumulated over 100 million views. Good afternoon, JP, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hey, Corey, thank you for having me, brother, and thank you for only reading good things in my bio. I'd imagine you could have like thrown in a lot of dirt on me that would have made me look less favorable, but man, I appreciate that.
Sounds good to me. Listen, I just finished listening because I downloaded it from Audible, How to Be Ultra Spiritual. And I got to tell you, I love your book. I laughed. It filled me with a great state of positive emotion. And I really enjoy your YouTube videos, your intellectual insight, your satire, humor. It's fantastic. I have forwarded this stuff to all of our students and my family, and they all really enjoy it. I'd love to discuss the book because it's on my mind and there's a lot of stuff that's in my mind. But before we get into the book, our listeners are international. So people listening are in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, all through the States and Canada, down in South Africa. And they're all coming from a different point of view, but they're mostly fitness buffs. They're teachers, they're health professionals, they're health food store retailers. They'd like to know maybe something personal about you, like where you're from, where you were raised, and how you evolved into this emotional healing coaching field.
Yes. Well, I was born and raised in this obscure place called Ohio. I was there for the first 23 years of my life. And let's see, as a child, the way I dealt with pain was by making people laugh. When I felt insignificant inside, I didn't want to feel that because I didn't really know how to deal with it. So I would just create a sense of being significant by making people laugh. I'd feel amazing about myself for about 3 minutes, and then that wears off and I need to make someone else laugh. So it got me a lot of repetitions. And honestly, along the way, in my early teens, I got incredibly interested in health. The initiation was through working out. You know, I wanted to look buff, another way I'd feel significant about myself. It really opened the door to a meaningful deep dive into the health world, which, you know, my health practices are still very important to me. They help me feel good and connected, energized in mind and body so that I can better live what I believe is my life's purpose. And yeah, nonetheless, right now I'm residing in Costa Rica. And I think how I got into the comedy world was, you know, certainly on the foundation of what I mentioned in childhood, how I used comedy to deal with pain. But I had been in the emotional healing world. My interest in health eventually led me to be very passionate about the power of our emotions. And about 13 years into my career, I finally gave myself permission to marry my natural inner comedian with my sincere heart. They've always been parts of me, but you treated them as though they're separate. They need to, kind of like oil and water, they can't coexist. So about 2.5 years ago, I finally gave myself permission to basically share meaningful perspectives through the language of comedy.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job, believe me, and you're really hitting the punch. It's fantastic. Now, I'm a world traveler too, and like yourself, you love travel for a lot of different reasons. I've been to Costa Rica. Where are you? Which side are you on? And what do you like about Costa Rica right now?
On the Pacific side in Manuel Antonio. Do you know of it?
Oh, yeah. I've been there. Oh, yeah. I've been surfing down there.
Yeah. So it's just a beautiful place. What I like best about Costa Rica is my girlfriend's down here. She's originally from Santa Cruz, California, but she's lived in Costa Rica for the past 4 years. She does a lot of yoga teacher training productions and other kind of retreats she holds. So her and I are splitting time being based in Costa Rica, where her place is, and Charleston, South Carolina, where my place is. So being with her, being connected with her is, man, that's what I love most about Costa Rica. And there's many other amazing things about Costa Rica, but I got to be honest with my real agenda.
Right on. Now, also what comes to mind, I do this too, working by remote in this new age of technology. Isn't that fantastic how you can do what you love and sort of cruise around, and even this discussion right now? That's a paradigm that I teach to my students, is how to actually do that. And you're actually doing it, aren't you?
Yeah, I feel very blessed to really not be at all tied to any one location, where as long as I have my video camera with me and an internet connection, life goes on amazingly. And, you know, ideally an airport within a reasonable distance. I do a lot of speaking and performing with different gigs, so flying places is helpful to me, kind of essential. So, but yeah, I mean, what a great blessing where there's no anchor for those of us who live and are able to work remotely. So wonderful to not be anchored. And I actually find my work gets enhanced where I can get out of my familiar zone of being at home. And now I'm somewhere new, which is so stimulating to me. The creative juices really get squeezed. So yeah, to me, it's a great blessing of our modern day.
When I first met you online through YouTube, I took my interest in you to the next level, found out that you were actually a faculty member for the Czech Institute. I know Paul. Yeah. I've interviewed him. Tell us about that experience.
Awesome. Yeah, so Paul Czech changed my life. And I, you know, on a professional level, I taught for the Czech Institute from 2006 until 2013. Just amazing experiences. Really helped me sharpen my sword in so many ways. But it's, to me, the most important impact Paul had on my life was when I first met him, which was July of the year 2001. So, wow, coming up on 16 years ago. And he and I had an instant connection. And he saw things in me, which were, they weren't apparent externally. Like I, in the class I was taking with him, I was the youngest person, the most inexperienced. Yet he really saw things in me. And I think seeing the way that he believed in me taught me how to believe in myself. That alone is the most priceless gift Paul Czech gave me. It's one I'll never stop being grateful for. Seeing how he believed in me and modeled how to believe in myself for me. So that, aside from, you know, technical skills and education, that was the most valuable gift he gave me. And I don't know if it'd be possible to give me a more valuable gift than that.
Listening to you, it feels like you got a lot of gratitude oozing through your pores. It sounds good. I just love the flow, man.
Thank you for picking that up. I'm sweating in Costa Rica. That's coming through my pores, but there's plenty of gratitude coming out with the sweat for sure.
Yeah, I know. It's so cool. Now, let's get into the book because I enjoyed this so much. My background is a lot of dry science, you know, physics and biochemistry and physiology and biology. And of course, I love philosophy and putting that all together. But the spiritual path, you know, the name that you have and what that means. So I'm going to ask you straight up, what is ultra spirituality and why does it have nothing to do with actually being spiritual?
Yeah, to me, it's the egotistical agendas that are pulled into spiritual practices. That's what ultra spirituality is. It's the ego within spirituality. I'd suffered from loss of myself for so long in my spiritual pursuits, where I was very driven by my ego. Let me meditate more than you. Let me be more conscious than you. Let me feel energy more than you. And then, like, that's all ego, and like, it's okay, but I think it was really consuming me because I was blind to it for so long. So the ultra-spiritual theme, the videos, the book, it's my way of healing myself, honestly, and reclaiming parts of me that I had lost to my, you know, ego's agenda. I think all of our egos have this insatiable hunger to satisfy ourselves on something that's inherently unsatisfying, which is significance. So I think wherever humans go, there our egos are, there's our ego's agenda, and that's including spirituality. I think the sleight of hand, the trick that happens with spirituality is we have this spiritual language that allows us to justify anything as being spiritual. So that could mean we're completely acting from our ego, being judgmental, self-righteous, and we will have these spiritualizations to justify why it's actually in our spiritual interests, when in fact, just because we say the words doesn't mean it's true. It can be very much coming from our ego's desire to feel significant. So anyway, ultra spirituality is my way of becoming more aware of the dysfunctional stuff I do with myself.
How important is it to a man or woman to literally actualize who and what they are in the purest sense and to live as what they are, like to be who you are? And if they can achieve that state, what can that do for a person?
I think it's incredibly important. I don't know if there's anything more important than being who and what you are. I don't know the purpose of life, but if I was pretending to know the purpose of life, I would guess it would have something to do with you living your life, which implies you be you. From my delusional perspective, I don't think that's a destination that we click into and we say, oh, yep, now we know ourselves. Now I know who I am. It's like, yeah, that's great ultra-spiritual language. It makes you sound more significant than people who don't know themselves. But I think who we are, it's an infinite mystery to be explored. I think there's a reason why all the wise people say it's a journey, not a destination. I think we get our lives incredibly enriched when we're walking the path of doing our best to find more of who we are so we can live as the person that we are, rather than being the person who we think we're supposed to be that has nothing to do with who we are. And we gradually let go of our delusional thinking that defines who we think we are. So I think the idea of being the curious explorer, searching for who we really are while we simultaneously do our best to let go of more and more layers of who we think we are, brings a lot of richness to our lives. I think life will always be pretty empty and unsatisfying if we're not being ourselves. And if we're looking for ourselves where we're not, you know, what we do, what we have, our status, I think that's looking for ourselves where we're not. But, you know, this thing called inner fulfillment, it's priceless. And I think it only is found within us, which means we have to be ourselves a little bit more than we used to be in order to find the fulfillment that we're all looking for. Are we looking in the right places or not is the question.
Yeah, that's heavy, dude. That's heavy. And I can't wait to listen to this interview after having a big bong hit on my dog's bong. We live in Canada.
That's the way to do it.
We live in Canada, man, and you know we're all about freedom here, man. We're almost at that point that we've been all wanting. It's going to be legal here next July 1st. That's what our government is proposing, and that's what the people want. So hallelujah, brother.
Would that be nationwide?
Nationwide.
Wow.
But right now, I'm surrounded by dispensaries, kind of like, you know, Washington and some of the states, but they're pretty much nationwide now, but we're going to take it to that next level where we actually legalize it from the top so that there's no more incarceration, no more fines, no more nothing. You can just buy it like cigarettes and alcohol, probably in those same locations.
I think that's wonderful. I think the idea of a plant that has medicinal value being illegal is absolutely ridiculous. And I also, going to the extreme in the other direction, I also believe that just because it's medicinal doesn't mean that the time and place is every time and everywhere. I think any medicine, no matter how natural and wonderful and powerful, it's got a powerful potential. And I think power potential has a constructive side and a destructive side. But nonetheless, my dogma aside, I think it's so important to give people the right to access, you know, a miraculous plant for them to determine how they want to use it, when they want to use it, if they want to use it, for whatever reason. So anyway, congratulations, Canada. And you said next July 1st. Is that the year 2018?
It's going legal. Now, July 1st is like your July 4th celebration down there.
Okay. Yeah.
And so a year from this date, if everyone goes smooth, it should be legal. And there's a lot of people looking forward to that. But yeah, everything that you said, we're on the same page. Use everything with discretion, wisdom, okay, and talent, and keep everything down to the level of control. Absolutely. Yeah. So well said. I just love what you said. Now, let's talk about some of these golden nuggets that I wrote down as I was listening to your book. What do you mean by fitness addiction?
Fitness addiction, yes. So that would be a way, in my opinion, that people can disconnect from their emotions. I think any addiction is really an addiction to not feeling how we feel. And I think when we create an addiction or an obsession within the sphere of health, it's so easy to be blind to our addiction. And therefore, we're extra blind to what we're covering up with our addiction. So in other words, one way that I see people escape their emotions, and it's a way that I really escaped my emotions in the past, is becoming obsessive about exercise. And I think that means, you know, if we're obsessive about exercise, we're using a health practice in a very unhealthy way. We're using it to escape ourselves rather than develop and realize ourselves.
What is obsessive compulsive nutrition?
Yeah, man, obsessive compulsive nutrition is very similar. And I think that's where it's a cover up for our how we really feel inside. Anything obsessive is really an escape attempt from ourselves. And obsessive compulsive nutrition, which I have absolutely lived as well, you know, it's like we're creating so much mental angst and psychological stress in the name of improving our vitality. So like I consider it like, wow, we might be saving ourselves, say, 5 units of vitality by being obsessive compulsive or only eating clean food that's organic. It was blessed by the Dalai Lama and picked by a left-handed farmer who was very compassionate. And it's like, okay, if we're saving ourselves 5 units of vitality by being obsessively clean about our nutrition, what if it's costing us 7 units of vitality via the mental stress and the psychological stress that it imparts on us?
Absolutely. Please comment on your take of veganism.
Veganism, yes. For me, veganism is a way of eating, not a philosophy. I think any way of eating nutritionally, it makes the nutritional strategy a great tool. But when we take a tool and try to create a philosophy out of it, then we can lose ourselves. My girlfriend, for example, eats as a vegan, and I don't. I eat plants and animals, and so I eat a vegan diet and a meat-eating diet simultaneously, just multitasking. So like when I'm talking about my girlfriend, like I don't say she's a vegan. I say she eats as a vegan. Who and what she is way more than this narrow definition of a vegan. So yeah, long story short, I've got no problems with vegans, but I do question whether someone's vegan, paleo, or anywhere in between. Is your nutrition philosophy serving you, or are you serving it?
Yeah, absolutely. I came across a new term. You delete the V and add in the P for the paleo, and now that's called paganism.
Man, I full circle. Wow, that life makes sense to me now.
Oh, I'm a heathen and a pagan, man, all the way.
I love it.
Now, what is good about the yoga lifestyle?
Man, everything's good about the yoga lifestyle, but mostly the tight yoga pants. That's where it's at. The greatest benefit of yoga, my experience is when I'm in class and I'm behind a woman, which inevitably somehow I always am, and we're in downward dog and I look forward and, you know, she's greeting me with her lycra encased genital silhouette. That's when I realized the true meaning of yoga.
And the stretching's pretty good too, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, stretching your body into ranges of orthopedic irresponsibility is very enlivening to your spirit. But the yoga pants are more enlivening.
Now, you used a term that I love. It's called mindfulnessness. Comment on that.
Yeah, mindfulnessness. It's all the fullness of mindfulness with none of the mind. And how I satirically approach this in my book is, you know, mindfulness is all about being free from the mind, but it's a philosophy that orbits the mind, hence mindfulness. So I think the big industry that's involved in the mind just wants you getting free from the mind. That's why I created mindfulnessness, all the fullness of the mind with none of the mind. And it means you go through your life doing your best to not think. And that always turns out well.
What are emotions and why do you talk about them as being evil or making one weak to experience them?
Yeah, well, my satirical take in the book is our emotions make us more human, and anything that makes you more human makes you less spiritual. Therefore, your emotions work against your spirituality. And when you look at your various emotions, like shame, it means you're not good enough as a person. When you're sad, it means life will never get better. So the emotions are clearly accidental mechanisms that are put there for evil reasons to block us from our spiritual potential. Therefore, spiritually bypassing our emotions in favor of not feeling our feelings, but feeling made up feelings like bliss, ecstasy, and nirvana, that's definitely recommended.
Okay, so the question that comes to mind finally as we get towards the end of this wonderful interview is, we talked about being who you are and how important that is, but you talk about appreciating our individual weirdness. Why is that important?
To me, our weirdness, like we're all naked weirdo. We all pretend like we're not. We somehow worship the greatest disease of our time, which in my opinion is normalcy. So I think we're all weird. And what weirdness is our traits, our tendencies, our personality quirks, even our behaviors that are unique to us. They're part of what helps make us ourselves. And to me, weirdness, why it's really important is weirdness is our gluten-free breadcrumb trail that always leads to our authentic self, who we really are. So why I think it's important to say yes to our weirdness rather than saying yes to the prison of normalcy is saying yes to our weirdness is really saying yes to ourselves, because ourselves is there to be discovered when we cross the bridge of saying yes to our weirdness. At least in my case, it felt like a curse when I was a child. But now as an adult, I can see that's a blessing. Like when I was a kid, I was weird. I was the only one in my class with red hair. You know, I had freckles. And it was like, it feels like a curse. My weirdness makes me different. And now as an adult, I look at that as a blessing, like exact same thing, just a completely different perception where my weirdness, like red hair, okay, that makes me more recognizable. It really works for me in my business and it makes me different. And that's not a bad thing. It's an amazing thing because it makes me different. But again, through the perception of my child eyes, I think, okay, it makes me different. That doesn't feel good. Let me hide that. So I think as a child, a lot of us learn to cover up and hide our weirdness because we see it as a weakness because it makes us different. But I believe when we cover the weirdness that we maybe covered up as a child, we realize, it wasn't weak. It's a great strength of ours if we embrace it and allow ourselves to be more unapologetically true to our weird selves.
Agreed. 100%. Awesome. Awesome. Now, to buy your book, where do our students go? What is your website address?
Yeah, well, you can grab my book very easily off Amazon.com. It's probably the easiest place. There's also a landing page for the book, which is howtobeultraspiritual.com.
And Awaken with JP. I noticed when I was looking through some of your activities, you also offer client sessions and perform retreats. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
My one-on-one client practice, I let that go in this past January. Greater opportunities were coming about. Yeah, I used to host a lot of retreats, and that's taking a temporary hiatus as I just juggle some other amazing opportunities that feel very purposeful to fertilized. So long story short, that part of my website needs to be updated.
Right. And that's an ongoing process. So what's on the agenda? Do you have an ultra spiritual 2 or another book coming out that you're working on?
The next big project is I've got a couple video projects that'll be happening with my publisher. And those are going to be not necessarily ultra spiritual projects, though there will be some comedy involved, but they'll be more deliberate, sincere offerings from my heart. So those will be coming down the pipeline. And then simultaneously later this year, I'll have a more full-on comedy tour happening. So there are some big stars in my sky that I'm looking forward to exploring.
I bet you are. Well, listen, we fit our time budget, and wow, what a great interview. I mean, this is really spectacular. Some of the most important things I've heard for a while. And, you know, I'll tell you this too, JP, that I've been doing this podcasting for, this is our 16th, 17th year. You're the only person who's never requested by demand an outline of questions, because when I told your agent about that, she said, well, he doesn't want anything. He just wants to be spontaneous, which I thought was very cool.
Oh, right on. Well, thank you for acknowledging the coolness of that. And, you know, I like to pretend we're just human beings having a conversation and honoring the, I think, the excitement that is spontaneity that comes up in the moment. To me, the premeditation, let me know what we're going to talk about before we talk about it, it really robs me of the enjoyment of being present with you. So I appreciate you acknowledging that, Corey.
Oh, my pleasure. So to bring this to some degree of closure, although it's infinite and shall forever remain, from the guru himself, from the master of being ultra spiritual, lay something heavy on us as we bring this great interview to a conclusion.
Well, a thought that I'd love to offer sincerely from my heart is to invite people to consider, who do you think you are? Who do you want to be? And then who are you really? Maybe considering that you're not who you think you are, you're not even who you want to be, but who you really are is a mystery to be explored. If we can sit with that, if we can curiously dip our toes into the mystery of who we actually are, we get to be a little bit more present for this miracle that is our life and ourself.
J.P. Sears is an emotional healing coach, a YouTuber, author, international teacher, and is the author of How to Be Ultra Spiritual. J.P., thank you so much for your time, your energy. I wish you the most success and the best of health for the future.
Oh, thank you, Corey. You are a gentleman and a scholar, and I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Okay, take care.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com.
Represent your lifestyle. Way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.